Something powerful is happening in America, and the political establishment does not want to admit it. For years, the story was really simple. Young voters belong to the left. But now, millennial conservatives, Generation Zs, are pushing back. They're pushing back against political lines, against political insiders, and against a system that keeps telling them, sit down, be quiet, don't ask questions. Not anymore. This generation grew up online. They've seen every failure, every contradiction, every lie. And they are demanding answers. The old GOP wants loyalty. The new generation wants the truth. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this is Perspective, Generation Question, the Young Right Rebellion. For decades, the Republican Party relied on a model built by an older generation. Hierarchy, deference, trust your leaders. But this world is changing. America changed. And young conservatives, they're refusing to pretend they don't see what they don't see. They watch institutions collapse under corruption. They watch big tech silence dissent. They've watched government agencies lie to Congress, to the public, even under oath. So no, this generation is not going to smile politely while being lectured about just trusting the system. Younger conservatives want answers. Why are we still spending trillions we don't have? Why can't young Americans afford homes? Why is the government spying on its own citizens? Why are we fighting endless wars with no clear mission? Why do party elites talk about freedom but choke the next generation with regulations? And here's the truth. The establishment does not want to hear. Young conservatives aren't rebelling against America. They're rebelling for America. They believe in freedom, not fear. Independence, not indoctrination. Accountability, not blind loyalty. And if the GOP wants a future, it had better start listening. America's youngest conservatives are done being told to sit down and just trust the system. They're demanding answers, challenging authority, and refusing to follow the script written by GOP insiders decades ago. So here's the question shaking the Republican Party to its core. If the next generation of conservatives won't stay quiet, will the party finally start listening? Well, I know two people that I'm listening to recently. I want to bring in our guest, Allie Pluckett of the Young Right Rebellion Show and Gen Z conservative Jeb Baugh. Thank you so much for joining me, Allie and Jeb. Let's take a listen to this recent soundbite that went viral on the web by one of our guests, Jeb.
I'm an aviation student here at the University of North Dakota. And I really like your point, question everything. And one question I have for you, Glenn, is a lot of young American and conservatives are starting to notice that Israel has an overwhelming lobby over the United States government, and we have unconditionally supported them. We have fought their wars in the Middle East. Bibi Netanyahu came to our Congress in the 90s, told us a list of countries that we need to take out, somewhere Syria, Iraq, Iran, Libya, etc. Through those wars, we have lost trillions of dollars. We have lost American servicemen. And the worst part I think about it is the fact that millions of refugees are coming to the Western world through America, and Europe are degrading our cities, destroying our Western values. The U.S.
Can I wait? If you have more, let me just, because that's a long list and I have a very short attention span. So let me just answer some of those here and then you can continue your encyclopedia of questions, and I appreciate it. Let's see. Israel has a lobby, yes. And you know who has a bigger lobby all around the world? The United States of America. It is in each country's best interest to lobby. Don't blame Israel, blame our own politicians if they act upon it outside of the United States interest. Because I can tell you, we're lobbying everybody else. And they will...
Are you a bird for Israel first?
No one's clapping. No one's clapping for your
point. Are you a bird for Israel first? It's an easy question. Charlie was America first. What are you?
Charlie was starting to notice about the Israel lobby.
Could I answer my question? Yeah, could I answer the question, please? First of all, I'm an American first and always.
Deb, I have to tell you, you started a wave. You were probably one of the first people last summer, prior to everything happening on college campuses, that actually had the nerve to question who I consider to be one of our the biggest conservative mouthpieces, influencers that we've had in the movement for generations. You both represent a generation that refuses to accept these talking points. I'm going to start with you, Jeb, because we just played your clip. What moment first made you question the political rules older Republicans were trying to hand down to you?
Well, because our system isn't working for us. The middle class, it dies every day. The American dream is here no more. Our cities are going terribly. I mean, from rapid demographic change to the loss of manufacturing jobs here in the U.S., I mean, the system just isn't working for us, and we're questioning it.
And that's the thing. You know, Alan, I want to bring you in on this, because do you feel like that the GOP establishment is genuinely listening to younger conservatives right now? Or do they just want your votes while keeping you at the kids' table?
Oh, no, I don't think they're listening to us at all. I've experienced it firsthand, not just only in my county in Tennessee, but with the Tennessee State Party as a whole. We're not being welcomed. Our ideas are being deflected. And I feel like over the last 4 years, at least, with President Trump's campaign and everyone coalescing around those similar ideas, that it wouldn't be so hard for our generation to be embraced. But for some reason, we're hitting a brick wall when it comes to wanting to step into those leadership roles.
And that's the thing, because younger voters on the right consistently say that they are wanting this freedom, especially digital freedom. Jeb, you've taken on your platform, you've used your voice, and after posted the Glenn Beck questioning, you've been putting out daily commentary on it. Are you getting any pushback? And I just have to ask, did Glenn Beck ever reach out to you after that first initial meeting?
No, Glenn Beck never reached out to me. Most of my feedback is very positive. I probably have about 5% of the people that watch me, maybe even less, that, you know, send me a hateful DM. I have some rude comments here and there, but for the most part, pretty much all positive.
So here's my question for you on that one then. Do you think, since you are using big tech and you are using, obviously, to get the message out there, do you feel like that there is overreach by our government, by even Republicans right now, regarding tech and trying to limit your voice?
I do. I think they would love to, you know, limit free speech like they do in Europe if they could. TikTok, it's a lot worse than Instagram, I feel like. I feel like Instagram, you can post a lot more. TikTok seems to be the most censored, in my opinion.
So, Allie, you mentioned the fact that you feel like you're not being listened to in your state that you live in. And that's an interesting, because I think this is something. Do you feel like you're alone, or do you feel like, because you talk to your own age group, do you feel like you're a part of a bigger movement that's just trying to find its voice? And is there division amongst the young Republicans just as they are the older Republicans?
Well, whenever I first started joining or coming to chapter for the local party, I was the only one, under 40 there. After our reorganization, and I recognized that, you know, we did not win, my side did not win, and I was not going to be able to be involved in a leadership capacity, we started a chapter for the young Republicans, and it was more than difficult to find folks that wanted to be involved, who want to choose a side, because when they look to the top, especially locally and at the state level, they're not seeing what they want to, like what they're seeing from President Trump or what they've heard from President Trump around those same ideas. They feel like they're kind of getting duped.
Well, and that's the thing about being duped. What issue, Allie, first got you being involved? Was it a federal issue, a state issue, or a local issue that first said, you know what, I'm going to not do what everybody else is doing. I'm actually going to make this to be my priority and get involved and put my voice out there.
Well, it's a federal issue that's really, really local to me. I'm a product of the Tennessee walking horse industry. My father has been a trainer for the past 30 years, and it's the reason I have a family at all, actually. So for what it's done for Bedford County and Middle Tennessee, I've noticed that simply because of the federal regulations and what it's done to our industry, it's hollowed out Middle Tennessee. The folks that used to be able to be employed by our trainers, by those farms, They're no longer getting hired anymore. They're the people who can't pass a background check. They're the folks who may not have the cleanest record, but we're used to that person who could give them that mutual respect and a trust and a position that they could be a part of a team. And that's really what's gotten me involved. That's what's brought it towards me my entire life. And now I I can't look away from the local level because we pay attention so close to the federal level. But with our local, I just really feel like we're losing sight of what we have here.
And I think that's what makes a difference before. We've seen a problem, you know, everybody experiences this problem that involves the government. But in the past, you know, my generation, we kind of just accept it and move on to say that's just the way it is. That's just what the law is. Your generation seems to be questioning it. And yet, Jeb, I have to ask you, are you getting pushback? I mean, we have a great conversation happening right now about our college campuses and the political activism that's happening on it. Jeb, are you getting any pushback for your personal, you are in college. I'm not going to point it out just because I don't want to cause you any trouble. But are you getting pushback for your beliefs?
In college, no, I'm not. I don't think any of my professors, you know, even know about my channel or would care, to be honest. And you touched on the point that, you know, your generation didn't really question stuff. I think that's because the system actually worked for them and there was no reason to question it.
Well, let me tell you something. The system hasn't worked for us. I'll be the first to tell you. It hasn't, because we've obviously passed this on to you. Okay, stick around, Allie and Jeb, because we're going to come back after a short break. A political rebellion is brewing, not on the left, but on the right. And I do think it's great that young conservatives are calling out the hypocrisy. They're demanding transparency and refusing to be silent. Which brings us to our central question. Can the GOP survive if it can't control its own next generation? Or more importantly, listen to its own next generation? We're going to continue our conversation after the break. Welcome back. Forget what you've heard. Young conservatives aren't following orders anymore. They want the truth, not talking points, action, no excuses. And they're asking the questions party elders want off the table. So, two voices who are asking these questions are Allie Pluckett of the Young Right Rebellion Show and Generation Z, Gen Z conservative Jeb Bah. Thank you so much for joining me and rejoining me on this one. Jeb, I'm going to start with you. I have to ask both of you the question. What concerns you more right now, domestic issues or foreign policy? Jeb?
Domestic issues, 100%.
Okay. What are you concerned most about?
I think the massive thing here in America is demographic change. I think that's going to be our biggest problem.
Okay. And then are we talking about, is that in regards to immigration, border security?
I think immigration and border security. I think we have too many people coming in too fast and they aren't assimilating quick enough. And we have people coming in that don't respect American culture necessarily.
So, and what would be your solution to them? What advice would you give to the Trump administration?
Well, I think we need to stop immigration as a whole. I think when Trump banned third world immigration, it was kind of half-hearted. He really didn't ban the countries that are coming here the most. And I think that we need a lot more deportations, to be quite honest, to be quite frank with you.
Allie, what about you? What is most concerning to you, foreign policy or domestic issues?
Well, domestic issues. I was under the presumption that, you know, a lot of the folks that I know and love that, you know, are a part of our community have been afforded those opportunities to become citizens, to be assimilated, and learning as I've gotten older and become more involved that's not what's happening here. That's not what's happening in Tennessee. Is very disheartening. And to see our leaders at the top, whether it be at our local level or our governor or even the president, our president is the one championing the message. He's actually going out there and doing it. But on our state and local level, we're not.
Well, I assume both of you probably voted for President Trump just a year ago. I think both of you are old enough to do that. That being said, President Trump right now, do you feel like that he is still being able to engage the youth vote like he had in the past? I mean, it became a pop culture icon with the MAGA hats. I mean, that was the cool thing to wear. Do you feel like he's still got that sort of cool factor within the party? Or do you think people are starting to question some of his actions? Jeb?
I think a lot of people are starting to question his actions. You can even see approval ratings drop exponentially from January compared to now. I think the youths in America right now see Trump as just a sad Band-Aid on America's bleeding wound.
Wow, that's the one thing. You have more courage to say the lines than probably 90% of my guests do, so I give you credit for that. Allie, to your point, are you seeing the same excitement for President Trump a year ago? And does that make you give up hope? Or do you think we're only a year into his term?
Well, we just had an election in Tennessee's District 7, and the Republican did win, but it was a little stressful because, you know, for the very first time in a long time, the Democrats did get a whole lot of attention. They gained a lot of ground. They had some really big-name Democrats, Kamala Harris being one of them, here in town campaigning for her, and I think that this kind of woke up our Republicans here who have kind of always looked, over the last 10 years, looked to Donald Trump, looked to President Trump as, you know, the leader of our party, the person that they're listening to. And it's made them to kind of look at home, look at the state, and ask themselves, like, is this really what we want? Is this what we need? Especially in a stark comparison with governors like Ron DeSantis, that Tennessee is not matching.
Well, and that's the thing. But, you know, this is a debate that's happening in the older generation of the Republican Party. And some people might even say there's a civil war that's potentially coming. Who wins? Who, in your opinion, do you feel like is actually winning this war within the GOP right now? Is it more your opinions, which you both seem to be very united, or is it this other more establishment, moderate line that seems to be taking hold right now? Allie?
Well, I think it's us. I don't think we have to outlast a single election cycle. I think that the ideas that have been perpetuated over the last 4 years through President Trump and along with Charlie Kirk and TPSU have taken a stronghold in, you know, many parts of society. I think that culture is downstream from politics, and that's where we see ourselves. I think people don't like the ideas to be attached to a category, but they know them when they see them, and I think it's a lot more popular than people would like to give it credit for.
Jeb?
I think the establishment is winning right now. I hate to say that. I think the youth, though, will be a lot different. The reason I say the establishment is winning, I mean, we just saw Marjorie Taylor Greene resign, and she was probably one of the most prominent America First, I would say, in the GOP right now. And whether she was threatened or pressured to resign, she resigned. And that obviously shows the tide is more towards this. I like to say it's MAGA and America First. I would say it's more MAGA right now.
Well, and that's the thing is I do feel like, you know, that I fall more into the America First conservative movement. But I have to ask, for your generation, there was something that's impacted your generation more than any others in the past, was COVID. Do you think that has had any impact on your security and what you believe in our, how much trust you have in our government officials, Jeb?
I do. The whole thing around COVID is very weird. I do think it came from China, 100%. The lockdowns were pretty extreme. I think pretty much everyone that was dying from COVID, they already had underlying health issues or they were just unhealthy in general. So I think someone like myself didn't necessarily need to be out of school or on lockdown.
Allie?
Well, Jeb, you're right. And I think that's exactly what people our age are saying, is that they botched it, that they had the opportunity to show us that they can handle things like this. And they botched it completely. They shut down our lives. That didn't affect people in the older generations nearly as much as it did us. And I think they're going to pay for it. I know that, you know, people my age, I'm 26, have, you know, not let go of it yet. And they feel like either whether they got their college experience hijacked or entering the workforce or getting married, that they're owed something. And so I don't think we can get that time back. There's no refund on it, but I think they want going forward to, you know, be making those decisions.
You know, it's very interesting because that's one issue that I think has really affected your generation that others hasn't. The other is what's going on around the world right now, because let's just call it for what it is. You know, if there was a draft today, it wouldn't be me being drafted. It would be you. It'd be your counterparts. It'd be your friends. Do you think right now, do you think that has any effect right now? Because if we go to war, it's you two that are getting called up. And Allie, thanks to lovely political correctness and Ted Cruz, women are going to get just drafted, just as much an option to be drafted as men. Does that have an effect, you think, as well? Do you think your generation is paying more attention to what's going on around the world because they would be the ones that'd be called to serve? Jeb?
Yeah, I do think if they institute a draft tomorrow, I just don't think it would work. I think there'd be massive protests, way more than Vietnam. If they thought the Vietnam protests, it'd be a lot more. I don't want to go die in the Middle East for that particular country. I don't want to go to war with Iran. I don't even really want to go to war with China. I don't want to go to war with Russia. I think we have a lot of issues here at home that we need to fix first, and I wouldn't be surprised if our politicians drag us into a war so we stop focusing on those issues.
Allie, do you feel like that you're not even, they don't even take in consideration you? You're just a number to them, a soldier to Washington, D.C., to send off to some of these places?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. A number on a screen or a number in the basket, whatever you want to call it, absolutely. And I think that, you know, my generation has looked to, you know, the millennials and seeing that, you know, a lot of them did sign up to fight the war on terror. They went and, you know, they dedicated their lives to it. And when President Trump came down the golden escalator and said we should have never been in Iraq, they went, you're right.
Well, and that's the thing, and that's, I think that's what your generation looks to. And once again, you know, I would hope some sweeping reforms, whether we're talking about term limits, whether we're talking about, you know, I've always said that if you're in Congress and you vote for to put us in a foreign war, it's your kid that gets put on the front line far before my kid goes onto that side of it. But I really do credit both of you for speaking up, because I know it's not easy right now, and obviously you want to question more diversity. If the Republican Party refuses to adapt your priorities, are you going to continue fighting? Do you believe a third party is going to be the adventure? Or are you going to try to save the GOP? Allie?
I think it's the GOP. I think that we were the banner that decided that we were going to save the country. The two-party system is the way that our country works, unfortunately. And I've looked at situations like with Ross Perot, and maybe if he hadn't waited till he was, you know, near his 80s to, you know, step up to the plate and start championing those ideas, it wouldn't be this way. But President Trump was embraced under that Republican banner, and I think that's our only way forward with these ideas.
Jeb?
I wouldn't be surprised if we see the GOP collapse. I think it's very unpopular. I mean, we see it as a half-hearted, not really conservative, almost neocon foreign policy. I wouldn't be surprised if it collapses.
Well, I wish both of you the best. You're such extreme talents. Don't let your voice go silent. I've been around for a lot of the beginnings of a lot of great conservatives' careers, including Charlie Kirk, and I think you two have a bright future for you, and I really hope that you fight not only for the future of this country, but for the future of yourselves and your families as well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Scotty.
We saw something today the political class has tried very hard to ignore. Young conservatives are not waiting their turn. They're not bowing to party bosses. They're not swallowing prepackaged talking points from people who haven't had a real job in 30 years. This generation, they're informed. This generation is very connected. This generation is fearless. And let me say this clearly. The future of the conservative movement will not be built by people who tell younger voters to stay quiet. It's going to be built by those who listen to them. Because questioning government is not disloyal. Demanding transparency is not a rebellion. And refusing to accept political excuses, it is not disrespect. That is what I consider to be patriotism. Young conservatives aren't just the future of the right. They might be the only force capable of saving it from stagnation, from complacency, and from losing touch with the America that's coming. The old guard built the past. But it looks like the young right rebellion is building what comes next. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been Perspective. Thank you for watching.